we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud. Yeah. This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots.
Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm here with the notorious JCW, JC Dubs, Jamie Cohen Walker. Like so many others, Jamie's been involved in many aspects of the reopen movement, but her rise to prominence stems from her advocacy for normalcy in schools. Welcome, Jamie. Thanks for chatting with me today.
Thanks for having me.
So right off the bat, I got to be honest with you, Jamie. I feel like the 30 minutes we have for this podcast is probably not adequate to tell your story.
That is true.
The good news is, for everybody listening, our good friend Megan Brock is putting together a more complete and full timeline of really a history of kind of what happened in Bucks County, but maybe with a focus on schools. So this is a big project she's started recently. It's called American Grassroots Podcast. Interestingly, she has gone with grassroots, which here in Reopen Bucks, we cling to that. I mean, that's what we've done, basically. A lot of what we're going to talk to you about today is focused on how you changed everything right from the grassroots. So given that we have, you know, we aim for like 30 minutes or so with these episodes, let's figure out what exactly we can get into. Something that really stands out to me as a great part of the Bucks County story that I'd like you to tell is how Central Bucks School District really turned around from one of the tougher school districts when it comes to dealing with COVID issues, getting kids into school, to by the end of the 2020-2021 school year, probably one of the best, leading the way out of it for Bucks County. Obviously, you're a key part of that story, so you live in Central Bucks, correct?
Yes.
Can you give everybody just a quick overview of, like, why is Central Bucks important?
So Central Bucks is the largest suburban school district in Pennsylvania.
So influential, where yes. They go, other districts will go. And overall, I mean, when you say largest suburban, the only ones that would be bigger are the big cities like Philly, Pittsburgh.
Correct.
And then it's Central Bucks. So what was your first experience dealing with COVID nonsense in the schools?
So my two children were in an elementary school that was shut down for a day because a child was at a shiva with an adult that tested positive for COVID. So our district shut down my kids' elementary school a day before, for one day, the week before the whole COVID shutdown.
I kind of faintly remember that being in the news. So this precedes the actual shutdowns that were ordered by Governor Wolf or whatever.
Yes.
They just did it out of an abundance of caution or whatever we'd call
yes.
it, right? Okay, so that actually happens at your kids' school now. Mm-hmm. Was there any fallout from that? Like, they shut down. What really happened from a COVID perspective?
Absolutely nothing happened except kids didn't go to school that day because nobody ever really got sick from it. So
okay.
To me, it didn't really make sense.
Good. Okay. So, and that's interesting that you kind of, it's almost like getting a sneak peek of what's to come because that wasn't really happening everywhere. I mean, at the time, cases were actually pretty rare. But obviously they're going up, people are freaking out. And as you referenced, it was like a week or two later, schools mm-hmm. shut down. Now, something else that I really want to make sure to mention that I don't feel like enough people know about your story is you were involved in advocating to get kids back into school normalcy, the whole thing, right from the very beginning, right? You kind of immediately, once the schools were actually closed down within that 2 week period or whatever, already, what exactly were you doing? Just reaching out to the school or the school board?
I was basically at that point just sending emails to the teachers and the schools and to the principals because the education just was not good at all. Originally, they just sent the kids home with some busy work for 2 weeks, and then it switched to the virtual learning, and it just was very subpar.
So you felt like your kids weren't getting a good enough education?
They were basically not getting an education at all.
And that, did you expect as soon as they shut down and, you know, you said they come home with busy work, you're doing this thing for a couple of weeks, did you expect that they'd go right back, you know, once that 2 weeks is up?
I mean, I wasn't very
optimistic
about it, no. I didn't think they were going to get back.
Yeah. So as it turns out, obviously, as we all know now, that they didn't go back. The schools were shut the remainder of that school year. Somewhere in there, you find Reopen Bucks. So you actually joined Reopen Bucks. I know this because I just checked. You joined Reopen Bucks on May 7th, 2020, which was the very first day of the group. So you're one of the very first members of the group. How did you find Reopen Bucks?
I was part of the Reopen Pennsylvania Facebook page, and it popped up on that, and that's when I found you guys. I was waiting for people to join me.
Interesting. And rest is history, as they say. So you know, we're kind of linked up at that point. You're in the group. My recollection is, so we're going to talk through kind of the summer time frame here and get to when I think the Central Bucks story in particular really heats up towards like the fall time frame and some of the stuff that you are doing specifically. But over the summer, you know, Reopen Bucks is kind of organizing or disseminating into various groups that are dealing with this school district or this issue or that issue. And as that summer goes along, one of the key points in the whole thing, which we look back on what we actually know now and what we've proven with right to know requests and all this stuff, you know, that summer was very busy. But at the time, one of the key dates for us was June 15th guidance from Dr. Damsker. So that comes out. This is, again, after schools have been closed already the whole spring. So middle of summer, we're starting to look at what's going to happen in the next school year. Nobody really knows. I'm thinking in June, hey, this is still, we're always only a couple weeks away from ending this, right? This can't go very long, very naive. But when that June 15th guidance came out from Dr. Damsker, what was your initial impression of that?
So somebody, we started a Facebook page for Central Bucks for reopening, and somebody posted it on that Facebook page. It was on June 15th, they posted it. And some people liked the guidance, some people hated the guidance. Honestly, at the time, I didn't love the guidance that much because Dr. Damsker said kids should wear masks on the bus and like in hallways. And I didn't really want my kids wearing a mask at all.
So it was kind of like, was it a deal breaker for you, or was it just like, I don't really love it, but I'm okay with it?
Basically, at the time, I said I don't really love it, but it was what it was, better than what the state of Pennsylvania was putting out. So I felt like it was,
yeah,
it would have been okay probably, but it never really took place.
So. Yeah. So let's get into that. Now, again, we know so much of the timeline that I feel like we could tell a more complete story. You're going to have to follow Megan Brock and the American Grassroots podcast to really get the full story here. But as that summer goes by, there's a lot of things happening from a district administration perspective. The teachers' union is getting involved. Stuff is happening that ultimately leads to Central Bucks did not open school on time, correct?
Correct.
They wound up fully virtual on day one.
Yes.
Where does it go from there? Like, when, you know, what's the immediate timeline in those first few weeks of they go back either hybrid, or some schools go back full time, some don't? Like, what did that look like?
So they were supposed to go back in September before they made it all virtual. It was supposed to be elementary kids went back 5 days a week and secondary kids went back 2 days a week. And then they shortened the school day. So secondary kids couldn't eat lunch in school, and it shortened the day for elementary kids that they only had an 11-minute recess.
Okay.
So that's
big safety going on, right?
Yes, yes.
Awesome.
So what really stopped, I think, school from taking place was an op-ed that was written by the Mid-Eastern Regional President of the PSEA, who was a Central Bucks school teacher. He wrote an op-ed saying that the June 15th guidance was dangerous because Dr. Damsker said that kids could sit 3 feet apart, not 6 feet apart. And that was the basis of his op-ed, saying that it would be very dangerous to put kids in school closer than 6 feet apart. And I think after that op-ed got written is really when things started to change that stopped the kids from going back to school.
It's almost like there was a feeling in the country at the time that you kind of, as the summer played out, you kind of understood the teachers' union was going to shut it all down. It's almost like in hindsight, you could just see it coming.
Right.
But you were hoping for something better. And what's interesting is you mentioned that attack on the Damsker guidance specifically about 3 feet versus 6 feet. Very easy to understand why that's so critical to opening a school. If you have to space the desks apart at 6 feet, you have 80% plus of your parents who want their kid back in school. you're not going to be able to pull that off. There's not enough space. But at 3 feet, you can make it work. Now we know, of course, the science has finally caught up to Dr. Damsker, not just on that technical issue, but on so much else. It didn't make any difference at all. So that attack was not only highly impactful to what happened, but in error. So yes. A little bit frustrating.
Very frustrating. Yes. Because the kids could have always been in school.
Yeah. So we're at that point then where they don't open. Various reasons they don't open on time. But as the fall goes on, they're going to work through, like I said, some are going to school for this time, some are going to school mm-hmm. for that amount of time, and they're working through their plans. When did you get into, like, you're going to board meetings, you know, you're a more active participant, paying attention and calling them out, that sort of thing?
I started in July of 2020. The board meetings were virtual, so you'd have to type in your public comment, but I would always type in a comment. And during one of the meetings, our ex-school board president, Beth Darcy, also trashed our health director as well. So that really set a tone between the op-ed written by the Central Bucks teacher and our ex-school board president speaking poorly about Dr. Damsker. It really set a tone in Bucks County for people not to listen to him and for schools not to listen to him. So
had he ever, so I mean, that's a pretty bold thing for a board president to just attack yes. the chief doctor in the county like that. Did he at any point over that summer or fall, like, come and speak at Central? But, you know, was he allowed to?
They never once had him come speak at any board meeting in Central Bucks School District until March of 2021.
Right. After we've turned things around.
Yes.
And the situation is better. Yes. Wild. So
yes.
So you're involved, you're observing this stuff, participating in the meetings. What was your understanding of the board at that time? Like, what was the makeup of the board?
So I really didn't know the politics of the board at that time, but I could hear what the board members were saying, and I knew a few of them really just did not want kids back in school. One of them, Beth Darcy, even said, kids can't go back to school until COVID is gone.
Gone.
Gone. Just eradicated gone. From the world.
Well, so, we're over that mark, aren't we?
Yeah. So I just knew the schools weren't going to open at that point. So I was part of a lawsuit with some other school districts that sued the school district to open because it violated the fact that kids are supposed to go to school 180 days in the state of Pennsylvania. And virtual instruction should not count as the 180 days. So right. that was an original lawsuit I was part of. And then that lawsuit got filed mid-September. And remember, Central Bucks was virtual then. And that lawsuit is really what got the schools to open again October 1st.
Interesting.
Yes.
I remember that in the springtime when the schools were closed that whole time, the legislature got involved somehow. I don't remember exactly what happened, but they got involved to pass something that basically waived that requirement you're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, and they did not do it this time.
So you're saying, yeah, come fall, the legislature by this time has kind of had it out with Governor Wolf throughout the summer. They say, we're not going to do this with schools. We're going to tell them they have to be open 180 days. And your lawsuit to that effect pressured Central Bucks into saying, oh, crap, we're going to have to do
yes.
what we're supposed to do.
So their health and Central Bucks voted on a health and safety plan that really wasn't very realistic, because I think deep down they kind of knew they weren't really going to open, but so they had to open with that health and safety plan. So remember, secondary kids weren't allowed to eat lunch in school, so they had to make some adjustments with their health and safety plan when they finally opened. But so the lawsuit got the schools opened. And then also in September, I filed my first right to know request to get all the emails between the school board members. We have 9 school board members, our ex-superintendent, the ex-CBEA union leader, and Dr. Damsker. So I put that right to know request in to try to get the emails about what happened about school yeah. opening.
What? So I'm curious, because that kicks off, I think, it's almost like an ignition of something
yes.
that's drastically going to change the whole story here. What made you put that right to know request in?
Well, I was in a reopen box chat group, and you recommended that I should put a right to know request in. And I didn't even know what a right to know request was, but I just said, I'll do it because I just wanted schools to open. I would have tried anything. So I looked online on how to file a right to know request with Central Bucks School District, and I just did it.
And the way you have to do it, you know, selecting the people that mm-hmm. you're looking for the records from, yes. and picking out keywords and stuff like this, you suspected that you would find something
yes.
that showed kind of what they were doing, how their decisions were getting made, all of that type of stuff.
That's what I was looking for. I didn't know exactly what I was looking for, but I figured I would something would be in those emails.
And is it safe to say that, I mean, at this point, you mentioned you submitted that in September of 2020?
Yes, September 24th.
Is it safe to say that you felt like you had to do that because the board was not publicly being forthcoming with why this all is happening?
Yeah, the school board meetings just weren't really, like, they didn't really discuss anything.
Right.
And again, like, our health director never spoke at it. And so we're in the middle of a very deadly pandemic. They're telling me that if schools open, kids will get sick, adults could die, and you don't have the health director there. And you have our school board president trashing our health director, and the union president of the Mid-Eastern region of Pennsylvania talking bad about our health director.
Yeah,
so a lot of things were just secretive. So I figured we have to find out what's going
it's
on.
Rough. Well, yes. So two big things have happened now. We're in September of 2020. You filed a lawsuit to Central Bucks saying, hey, you need to meet 180 days requirement. You also have submitted your first right to know against the district. Kids are back in school then in October.
Yes.
What happens then? Like, what happens with your right to know? Where does it go?
So by law, the district or the agency has 5 days to answer the right to know request, and then they get a 30-day extension. So that's exactly what they took. So it was about the beginning of November. I was checking when I should get all my documents, and I see that they're not giving them to me. And I emailed the right to know officer, her name is Angela. I said, when am I getting these documents? And basically nobody answered me. So I went back into the chat group I'm in the Reopen Bucks chat group, and we're just like, what do we do? How do we get this? Do I have to hire a lawyer? And you recommended I talk to a woman from Penridge. Her name is Diane Marie Herring, because mm-hmm. she knows a lot about right to know requests. So I sent her a message and asked her what I should do. So she said to me, you should go to your next school board meeting and basically tell them you are going to file an appeal if you don't get your emails. And she helped me with my public comment, and I went and I did it. And my superintendent at the time, Dr. Kopicki was a superintendent at the time, he said to me, you will get your emails the next day, which I got my emails the next day. Angela Lynch sent me an email, said you can come pick up your emails. Because at the time they were giving out, you had to go physically pick up paper emails, and they were charging people for them. So I went and I wrote my check to pick up my emails, and I brought them home. I messaged Diane Marie. I'm like, what do I do now? Because I really didn't know what I was doing. And she just said, basically go through all the papers, put them in order of dates with conversations. She's like, you'll see when you do it. You'll get repetitive papers and it will be all mixed up.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have to organize everything. So when I went to pick up everything, I was expecting tons and tons of emails, because I asked for a bunch of people's emails from May to September.
So for a lot of keywords and with something that you knew was being discussed,
right.
Obviously a lot.
Yeah,
so we're expecting a lot.
And all I got was a little teeny stack of papers. So I went home, I took Diane's advice. My friend Jana came over. We put some conversations together. And we're like looking through everything. We're like, you know, there's really like nothing here. Like they just really didn't give me anything. So I went and I messaged Diane, and she said, okay, you need to file an appeal now. She's like, and she walked me through filing an appeal with the Office of Open Records, which now I see is like a whole legal process, which I didn't really even understand what a right to know request was at the time. But I filed the appeal, I think it was on November 11th.
Okay, and so just to clear up the difference there between like a right to know submission and an OOR appeal, when you submit a right to know request, you're basically submitting that to any government agency.
Yes.
And they call them agencies. So in this case, you submitted it to Central Bucks School District, and it's on them to follow the law properly and give you the documents you're requesting or tell you why by law they don't have to. You then appeal this because you feel like they didn't give you what you were supposed to have. So when you appeal that, you go to Office of Open Records. And where is that? Like, what is that?
It's a website. You just go on a website and you basically click file and appeal. So it's pretty easy.
They're the arbiters of the right to know the law. Like, you would appeal there. There's some government agency that would make a decision and say,
yes,
we're siding with you or we're siding with the district or whatever.
Yeah. So I filed the appeal and then I didn't get... It takes them a little while to process everything. So I get an email from them in January, and it says, you are actually entitled to a bunch of documents. It was hundreds of pages I was entitled to. And they said I could get all these documents. So the district responded back to me saying, we will give you all these documents, but we are not giving you three emails. And we are taking you to the Court of Common Pleas if you want to get those emails. So they brought legal action against me to try to get the emails the Office of the Open Records said I could have.
So let me make sure I'm understanding this right. Office of Open Records says Central Bucks erred. They're supposed to give Jamie hundreds more documents. Mm-hmm. And out of that pile of hundreds of documents that Open Records says you're supposed to get, they give you all of them except these few, which they say, nah, we're just going to take you to court. Or
I would have to take them to court to get them.
Oh, what?
Yes. So you have to fight them to get it because they're appealing what the office...
Well, right away, this does not seem particularly fair because they have taxpayer money and you don't. So
correct.
That's not cool. Okay, well, and my understanding is when you... At that point, we have a whole bunch of emails that do actually detail kind of what happened. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the story kind of comes together. We wind up writing an article that's up on reopenbucks.com about Dr. Kopicki and the conversations that happened in the summer. So now we know a lot of that story and hopefully, you know, people can go and find that. But what was so bad about those few that they hit? Like, you eventually got them?
I did eventually get them. So when I got the email from the district saying that they were going to take me to the Court of Common Pleas, I sent that to Diane Marie. And she said to me, she was like, you don't realize what a big deal this is. This is going to be huge.
Like, that does not happen very often.
She said she's never seen it happen before. And she has done a lot of work with right to know law. So she's like, this is going to be a really big deal. She's like, I don't know how we're going to get these emails, but we're going to do it. Because she was like, no, we're getting them. So,
and it's based on the inference that if they're suing you or forcing you to sue them to get the emails, it's got to be something meaningful.
Yes. So she said, in the meantime, she's like, go pick up what the district has for you. So I go to the district, I go and pick up my right to know emails, and they charged me almost $400 for me to pick up papers from them. But I went, I wrote the check for almost $400, and it was a giant box of papers. So I went and picked them up, I brought them home, and I remember I laid them out on my dining room table to try to go through them, and I didn't have enough room. I had to take them upstairs to my closet upstairs, and I laid them all out on my closet floor, and it took me like maybe a week or two, and I just spent hours and hours and hours just reading emails and putting together conversations. Then one night, I just, after it was all put together, I said to my husband, I'm like, oh my God, I have what happened. Like, here is the timeline. And what I called it, the timeline of deception. And it shows like what actually happened in June that closed schools in September. So I put together this timeline. I went to a school board meeting and I actually read this timeline. I made a PowerPoint of it. And then you wrote an article about it. And it was really the article that started to get it attention.
And what timeline is this? Like, where are we? We're January of now 2021?
We're in January now when I put all this together. And what the timeline really showed was a few emails from Dr. Kopicki saying to his staff, everyone prepare to go back to school. We are following Dr. Damsker's guidance. Everyone should plan to go back to school in September. to an email from the union president, Erin Corrigan, telling Dr. Kopicki she was very upset her union officials were not involved in any of the planning of opening of schools. And then the next email is saying, I never said, from Dr. Kopicki, I never said we were going back to school.
Okay.
So it's clear. Yes. And then there's...
We're opening. And then the
then we're not opening. And then in July, there's emails with the ex-school board president talking to the school, her other school board members, saying that she had a phone call with our health director, Dr. Damsker, and saying, you know, he didn't call me like a doctor. He just called me as a parent that wants his kids back in school. Because Dr. Damsker's kids go to Central Bluffs School District.
And this is the same president that had, she had trashed him at the meeting earlier in that.
She trashed him at the meeting, and she didn't want kids to ever go back to school until COVID was gone. Okay. So
speaking of which, so you get these emails, this is January, we're writing articles, suddenly like pictures coming together. What was the situation in the schools? Had they gone back to like full 5-day for everybody by that point?
Right after I went to that school board meeting in January and read the timeline of deception to the school board, the next thing you know, Dr. Damsker was invited into the schools to help measure desks.
It's a miracle, right?
To get the older, because the secondary kids were only back to school 2 days a week. So that was the first interaction he basically had, I think, with coming into the schools and helping the kids to get back.
Okay.
It was right after I put together the timeline
of
deception.
So things start improving.
Yes.
Now, a lot of this is going to lead up to Dr. Kopicki leaves and is replaced. And from an administration perspective, a lot changes there. Also, the board changed. Can't remember exactly when, but at some point, Beth Darcy resigns, and she is eventually replaced on the board by Dan Ring.
Yes.
What was your recollection? I mean, I know, I'm sure you were paying attention at that time, but did you know at that time that Dan Ring would go on to become like what was essentially the fifth vote for getting kids back towards normalcy?
I mean, I didn't know for a fact. I was hoping, because Beth Darcy was doing a very poor job. See, what happened after I filed my appeal in November, she resigned in December. Again, nobody ever really told us why, but I'm assuming it had to do with that appeal, because it shows that she was kind of the person that spoke to the health director and didn't let him in the schools to help.
It's like she blocked it from the other board directors by saying,
yes.
Oh, it's just a parent. It's not the health director of the county. Okay.
Right. And then another aspect of this too is, remember, they're hiding the three emails from me. So an attorney reached out to me a couple weeks later and said to me, if you hire me, I will get these emails for you. So I also hired the attorney to get the emails. So a lot took place. And then right when I got the emails is when Dr. Kopicki resigned. It all happened within 2 days of each other.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That, timelines just kind of come together.
Yes.
So now have you mentioned, I guess we don't really know why Beth Darcy resigned and when Dr. Kopicki left. I mean, were there like official reasons, quote unquote official reasons given for this?
Beth Darcy did have breast cancer, so she said she resigned because of that. We never heard why Dr. Kopicki resigned. He just resigned one day.
Just was gone.
Yes.
So there you are then, and presumably once you have replaced Beth Darcy with Dan Ring, who, like I mentioned before, he would go on to become that key vote that tipped everything in the whole story. You also have Dr. Kopicki gone by, what was it, like March or April?
He left the end of March, yes.
Okay. And then finally, that rest of the school year, the story kind of starts to get written about what Central Bucks becomes in terms of really leading the way. I distinctly remember going I think I've been to a couple since then, but first one at the time, the first board meeting that I went to was in June when they're like, yeah, you know what? We are under an indoor mask mandate. We're going to make it optional here at Central Bucks.
Right.
And they just up and do it.
What I think really filing the appeal did is got Dr. Damsker his voice in Central Bucks School District. Because remember, we are the largest district. So him being able to speak at a Central Bucks School Board meeting, it was a big deal. Because he was able to get a lot of his messages across that school is safe.
And we're talking, I mean, there's specific elements of his guidance, which went from Central Bucks is ignoring to, okay, Central Bucks is going to adopt. You mentioned earlier on the union head writing that article attacking 6 feet versus 3 feet. Mm-hmm. So it presumably once Dr. Damsker is able to speak, he can sell the idea of 3 feet, and that makes a huge difference. Another big one was modified quarantine, right?
Right.
So he was pushing modified quarantine before the schools even opened.
Yes.
And then once they were, Central Bucks was not using modified quarantine until he was able to come in and explain it.
Right. And he was never invited in until Dr. Kopicki left. So the next, right at when Dr. Kopicki left, was the next meeting was Dr. Damsker in there discussing modified quarantine. Mm. So it just, it made a big difference turning everything around. Yes.
So wild to think about it from that perspective. I mean, I know so many pieces of the story, but haven't thought about it from the perspective of, like you said, giving Dr. Damsker a voice and how that has changed so many other districts and Bucks County as a whole.
Yes.
So let me ask you a theoretical question. Where do you think we'd be if you never put in that right to know request?
I think we would have been like Philadelphia, probably. Like, I don't think the kids would have gone back to school normally at all last year. Our kids in Central Bucks went to school normally this school year. We always followed his guidance. So kids were never put on quarantine, never sent home to quarantine. Kids had the options to wear masks. If we never put in that appeal and all this didn't happen, none of that would have happened.
Yeah. Be a very different story. Yes. Well, and like you mentioned, you're leading into what is, I think, like a whole second chorus to this story, where Central Bucks, not only by the end of the 2020 to 2021 school year are they now awesome and getting the kids in and moving them towards normalcy, but over the summer they would become just the tip of the spear, really, not just in Pennsylvania, but I think across the country. You mentioned they have not quarantined a single kid this school year. That's amazing. There are only a couple other districts in Pennsylvania that can say that, and they're here in Bucks County.
Right.
So awesome stuff. I mean, there's so much else we could talk about that story. Fortunately, Megan Brock is hopefully going to cover a lot of it. Maybe we'll have you back on at some point to talk about the second school year and what takes place there. But definitely everybody look forward to American Grassroots Podcast and expanding on a lot of this stuff. We're like trying to fly through it. I guess, where do you think we're going from here? I mean, I assume you're pretty happy with Central Bucks today and the current state of affairs.
Yeah, I think Central Bucks is great. I mean, we've been pretty normal since the beginning. My kids were really never affected by COVID measures. So yeah, I'm happy with Central Bucks. I think it's a really wild story what happened, and it's going to be unbelievable to hear what people did to try to keep kids out of school.
So speaking of Meg and the whole huge amount of effort she has ahead of her to tell that story, which is awesome that she's doing it, I think it's worth mentioning that you have accrued a huge following and essentially a fan base. I mean, your initials, people say JCW and they know what that means. So, okay, for everyone out there who is, you know, interested to know more, know where to find you, where could they go just to find out more about you?
I mean, about me personally, I guess on Facebook, but I'm part of the Reopen Bucks, and I think the American Grassroots Podcast is going to tell a lot of the story.
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. Looking forward to it very much.
Okay.
Well, thanks again for coming on, Jamie.
Yep.
We'll talk next time. All right. See you, everybody.